Okay, so we have said goodbye to 2020 and hopefully all of the insanity that came with it. But there is something that we definitely have not said goodbye to anytime soon, and that's working from home. Many companies have pledged that they'll be working from home well into 2021, leaving us sitting in our sweatpants, looking at our computer monitors and our weird makeshift home offices with reluctant acceptance. People are spending more time than ever indoors and at their screens, and that's why it has never been more important for us to have plants indoors, and not only just having them indoors, but having them in our home office setups. So I want to break it all down for you today on episode 113 of Blue Mangrove Radio. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hi, plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. I am so freaking excited to dive into this episode with you today. In 2020, incorporating plants into my workspace was probably one of the single best things that I did for my eyes, my mental stability, my sanity, and my ability to get through a long work day working on the podcast and the YouTube channel for you guys. And I am just so excited to share all of these resources with you in this episode so you can do the same. So work from home isn't really going anywhere, and instead of seeing this as frustration, I'm really trying to look at it as an opportunity for us to have complete control over our work from home environment and our office and create the desk space oasis that can look exactly the way we want it to. And really, in an office, sometimes that's not the case. So today's episode is all about the why and the how behind bringing plants into our workspace. Whether you're still working from home or even if you're back in the office, there's a bunch of strategies for how to make your desk setup look beautiful and also a lot of science and studies behind why it's so important. Let's be real, cobbling together a work from home setup was stressful in 2020. In our old apartment, I had a desk that folded up into the wall, so every day I had to fold it down and fold it up, and although that was really fun and nice in the beginning, it got really annoying on the day-to-day when I was stuck in my apartment. I couldn't even decorate or settle in the way I wanted to, but when we moved, I really got to build a urban jungle oasis within my office, and it made such a difference. So as we turn the page on 2021, let's shake things up and make some stress-free, joyful moments in our lives through having plants on our desk. So incorporating plants into my workspace has been huge for me in 2021, but more importantly, it's a big deal for a lot of people in our community. In December of 2020, I had posted my planty work from home setup and encouraged our community to use the hashtag planty WFH, which stands for work from home, to share their Planty work from home setups. And it's been amazing to see how many people have shared their Planty work from home setups and how creative they have gotten and what beautiful spaces they've curated in their own homes that they get to spend most of their workday in. So over the last month, I've asked for your help. I've gotten your photos. I've got your suggestions. And this episode is really for you, plant friends, inspired by you and members of our community. And I hope that everybody is able to walk away from this episode with one idea of how to incorporate a little more green into their daily workflow. And we cover a lot in today's episode, so we've put our top 9 tips from the episode in an adorable free download for you that's linked in the show notes. If you're curious to see what my Planty work from home office space looks like, I recently released a tour of it on YouTube, so you can check the link in the show notes to check out my personal Planty work from home space if you're interested. And I also do a review of 5 top photos shared from our community of their offices and break their offices down too. So this episode is a little different from other traditional interview style episodes. It's just me, and I've broken it down into 2 sections. The beginning is the why, where we dive into the reasons why having plants is so important into our space. And we talk a little bit about biophilic design and how to apply the biophilic design principles into our work from home offices. And then we talk about the how. So we break down those biophilic design concepts, how we can get inspired by them, how we can apply them into our workspace. I share different ideas that I applied into mine. And then I also share some general takeaways that I've seen from the different pictures posted by our community and different suggestions community members have given us. So let's dive right into the why. I want to preface this by saying the majority of the information, like study-wise, that I'm sharing with you today comes from an unbelievably thorough article published by Terrapin Bright Green called 14 Patterns of Biolific Design. It's this epic 70-page document that's all about design and architecture and kind of a deep dive in biophilic design. So I've kind of combed through the 70 pages and pulled the practical bits that we can apply as houseplant parents. And I just want to say a special thanks to Vivian Farmer, who's a member of our community, who helped me comb through this extremely intense document to pull these tips for our community. The paper 14 Patterns of Biophilic Design was co-written by William Browning, Catherine Ryan, and Joseph Clancy. Shout out to the 3 of you guys. It's an unbelievable resource, and I've linked it in the show notes in case anyone is interested in diving in. So in this paper, there's this really handy table that breaks down all of the amazing side effects that you can experience through biophilic design and engaging with nature and the different studies that prove them. So you can click the link in the show notes to view the table. But here are the reasons why, based on this table, that we should be engaging with plants. Being around plants has been proven to do a variety of things: increase your creativity, increase alertness and engagement, increase cognitive performance, increase concentration, reduce our stress, help lower our blood pressure and heart rate, potentially reduce mental fatigue, increase our productivity, and help mood regulation. Not to mention, plants look beautiful, and why would we not all want to have a beautiful workspace to go to every day? So I thought a good first step of this introduction to biophilic design would be to share a definition of biophilia. So the term biophilia was used initially by this guy named Eric Fromm. He was a psychoanalyst in The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness, and that described biophilia as the passionate love of life and of all that is alive. That term biophilia was later coined by American biologist Edward O. Wilson, and he is the one who really is famous for biophilia. He's written several books on biophilia, and his books propose that the tendency of humans to focus on and to affiliate with nature and other life forms has in part a genetic basis. So we are hardwired and predisposed to relax and engage with nature, because if you think about it, when we were all cave people, like, we were surrounded by nature naturally, and as we've evolved, there's been less nature and more buildings and cement around us, and it's really just not healthy. So basically, biophilia celebrates the plant-person connection, and over the last couple of decades, more and more studies are being published that are kind of all mentioned in that previously mentioned table I was talking about, but they all bring up the fact that when people are around plants and nature, good things happen. And I think intuitively, we all know this as plant parents, but I also think it's really interesting that there's research constantly being done about this thing, this phenomenon that we all naturally experience through engaging with plants. Another great quote was from Frederick Law Olmsted that I read in this paper, and it's from 1865, and he said, "The enjoyment of scenery employs the mind without fatigue and yet exercises it, tranquilizes it, and yet enlivens it, and thus, through the influence of the mind over the body, gives the effect of refreshing rest and reinvigorating to the whole system." I mean, how real is that? How many times have you gone for a walk through the forest or had a moment in your little planty corner and felt calm yet energized? I love the comparisons and the words in that quote, and I feel like it's so true. Another interesting thing I learned was plants really do boost creativity, and I feel like within our workspace, it's always important, no matter what we do, to be creative. One of the studies mentioned in the paper says, in a series of four experiments examining the effect of the presence of the color green on the psychological functioning of participants, the results concluded that exposure to the color green before conducting a task facilitates creativity performance but has no influence on analytical performance. Humans are also able to distinguish more variations in the color green than any other color. So just by being around the presence of green, it could boost your creativity. I think that is so interesting that we as humans could naturally just kind of be drawn to the color green, and most of our plants are green. One other study I wanted to mention, this is one that we went over in our most recent restorative environment episode, but the view from the landmark benchmark view from a window study done by Dr. Ulrich. The abstract of the study says that basically this doctor studied a bunch of patients in a suburban Pennsylvania hospital between 1972 and 1981. And he put half of them in a room with a view of nature and then half of them with no room with a view. And 23 surgical patients assigned to the rooms with windows looking out on a natural scene had shorter post-operative hospital stays, received fewer negative evaluation comments in the nurse's notes, and took fewer potent analgesics than 23 matched patients in similar rooms with no natural view. That's been a huge study proving how, oh my God, just being around nature can help you heal. So why would we not want those benefits when we're sitting at our desks for 12 hours a day, right? I mean, makes sense to me. One other thing to touch on that we also talked about in our restorative episode a couple episodes back is the concept of direct versus involuntary attention. So these are topics that have been coined by several different scientists, Kellert and Stephen and Rachel Kaplan, who have a lot of stuff published on the attention restoration theory. But basically, in a nutshell, there's direct attention and involuntary attention. Involuntary attention is effortless, it's sustainable, it requires a stimulating environment that we can kind of effortlessly engage in. So a good example would be watching clouds pass by, or if you're on a walk and a butterfly flies in front of you, just like naturally being drawn to watch the butterfly. You don't need to like focus very hard on it, but it's this like very restorative experience. Then there's directed attention, which is the opposite of that. It's voluntary. It requires effort. It usually requires you to block out other stimuli in order to focus. For us, we're using a lot of directed attention when we're at our desks and at our screens all day. And now as we work from home, we're spending even more time in front of screens and therefore using more directed attention. And the theory is with directed attention, it's not sustainable and it is depleting. And so it's important to find those involuntary attention moments in order to kind of balance that out, or you can risk experiencing mental fatigue. So that's just been a super interesting concept that I've been playing a lot with and taking to heart. When I spend 12 hours a day in front of my work screen, I've been trying to find those moments of involuntary attention throughout my workday with plants, which I will talk a little bit more about later, in order to just give my brain a freaking rest, right? Don't we all need that? Okay, so those were some interesting studies that I thought were worth mentioning. Like I said, you can click the link in the show notes to go to that document that has all the studies cited and take a deeper dive. But man, it's interesting. There's a reason why this whole community is just so obsessed with plants, you know, more than just obsession. I think it is a hardwired thing. So I thought it would be fun to go over the 14 patterns of biophilic design, touch upon each pattern mentioned in the document. Not all of them really apply to our office, but many of them frame incorporating plants into our space in a very interesting way and will provide a lot of inspiration. So I thought let's talk through them and kind of jam on how we can incorporate them into our workspace through the lens of having houseplants. So the first one is visual connection with nature, and it's described as a view to the elements of nature, living systems, or natural processes. So a few tips for incorporating this concept into your work from home space is put your desk near a window. Obviously, the real thing is always going to be better than a potted thing or a picture of a plant. So if you can be near a window and you have a view of green, definitely put your desk near a window. A lot of members of our community have these amazing photos of their desks like pushed up right against big windows, and it just looks freaking dreamy. Another thing is put plants within the eye line of your desk. So I'm recording this at my desk, and at any time I can see probably 6 plants. I've got a desk full of plants. But it's nice that if you create a workspace where anywhere you look, you're able to see some form of green, get that kind of green hit, get that little nature fix, and go about your day. Another thought is to have a green wall near your office. I have my Wally Grow green wall to the right of my office, so I have 2 walls of plants kind of surrounding me in my work from home space, and it's so nice. Sometimes it's really nice for me to just turn, look at the green wall, let my eyes kind of zone out on the patterns of my philodendron Brazil for a minute, and then go back to my screen if I'm ever starting to experience eye fatigue. And then another option is put pictures of plants on the wall. So if you can't have the real thing, we still benefit from seeing pictures of nature and natural patterns. So you can put pictures of plants on your wall, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So the next thing is non-visual connection with nature. So this is described as auditory, haptic, olfactory, gustatory stimuli that engender a deliberate and positive reference to nature, living systems, or natural processes. So, a couple of really interesting things here. You can play the rainforest on YouTube. So, the Ho Rainforest in Olympic National Park has 1 square inch of complete silence. So, there's a lot of sound pollution in the rainforests because of flight patterns and planes and trains. And so there are actually very few unsound polluted areas in the United States where we still have that natural rainforest. So there's 1 square inch of protected land in this special rainforest, and they actually have a recording of that quote unquote forest silence. It's not silent at all, but it is such a relaxing, nice recording. So as I was putting this episode together as an experiment, I clicked on the link and I played the rainforest sounds, and it was really cool. So if you like bird song, you can go on YouTube and play YouTube videos of bird song, or you can listen to waves, but try and find that auditory experience of nature for yourself and replicate it. I know it sounds cheesy, but man, listening to waves crashing is so comforting. And if you normally just work in silence, maybe try working to the sound of waves or birdsong and see how that affects your mood throughout the day. And then in terms of scents, you can keep herbs or plants that have scents near you. So you could try herbs or rose or lemon-scented begonias, orchids or hoyas with blooms. And I love my oil diffuser with different plant oils that I will break down for you a little bit later. The next one is non-rhythmic sensory stimuli. And this is described as stochastic and ephemeral connections with nature that may be analyzed statistically, but may not be predicted precisely. So that basically means like something that's going to pop up unpredictably throughout the day. So if you have a desk that has a window with window boxes, maybe put pollinator attracting plants in your window boxes so bees can fly by or little pollinators can come pollinate flowers and interrupt your day. My parents have bird feeders outside of their office windows, and the like whole summer has been, oh my God, the Blue Jays back. Oh my God, the Cardinals back. And enjoying the birds come and go has been really nice. And also another thing for me is plants that bloom once a year, or plants that bloom unpredictably, is another fun idea. The next one is thermal and airflow variability. It's defined as subtle changes in air temperature, relative humidity, airflow across the skin, and surface temperatures that mimic the natural environments. I frankly don't think this is extremely applicable to your office unless you can like moderate your air temperature to kind of mimic outdoors. I won't be leaning into that one. The next one is presence of water. So this is defined as a condition that enhances the experience of a place through the seeing, hearing, or touching of water. So as houseplant parents, what do we love more than anything? Humidifiers. So maybe get your humidifier cranking near your office space. Maybe you can put in a little water feature, a little water wall, or one of those little plug-in fountains. Or maybe you have an aquarium or a terrarium that has some sort of water feature in it. You can even try just having pictures of art with water. I mean, we all know that beautiful visual ripple of a stone getting thrown into water is so beautiful, but apparently hearing or seeing water can be very relaxing throughout your workday. Next one is dynamic and diffuse light, which means leveraging varying intensities of light and shadow that change over time to create conditions that occur in nature. So this I also feel like isn't exactly applicable, but my thought that came to mind is you could have a grow light with a timer near your office space that's going to mimic the sun going up and the sun going down. We have our grow lights with timers. My timer goes off at 9. I've definitely still been at my office sometimes at 9 o'clock when the timer goes off, and that's a reminder, hey Maria, stop working. It's 9 p.m. So that's been really helpful. Also, reducing your blue light intake towards the end of the day. So if you have off-screen activities you can do at the end of your workday, maybe with your plants, maybe not, that's helpful. And then also candles. I mean, who doesn't love a moody candle to kind of up your vibe within your workday? Having that flickering presence of fire apparently is relaxing as well. Next one is connection with natural systems, defined as awareness of natural processes, especially seasonal and temporal, changes characteristic of a healthy ecosystem. This is a very interesting idea. However, I don't think I'm really going to be able to take it to heart in my office space. The next one is biomorphic forms and patterns, symbolic references to contoured, patterned, textured, or numerical arrangements that persist in nature. I think this is really interesting. There's a really interesting quote in the article that says, "Nature abhors right angles and straight lines. The golden angle, which measures approximately 137.5 degrees, is the angle between successive florets in some flowers, while curves and angles of 120 degrees are frequently exhibited in other elements in nature. The Fibonacci series is a numeric sequence that occurs in many living things, plants especially, and phyllotaxy, or the spacing of plant leaves, branches, and flower petals, so that new growth doesn't block the sun or rain from older growth, often flows in the Fibonacci sequence." So I think that also pairs with the next one, which is material connection with nature, which is material and elements from nature that through minimal processing reflect the local ecology and geology to create a distinct sense of place. So I think the two of those are really interesting, that don't only just bring plants into your workspace, but consider different patterns that occur in nature that humans like to be around. We're hardwired to want to be outdoors and want to be in nature. And it's proven that these patterns that show up, I believe they're called fractals, actually relax us. So in addition to having plants, consider having accent details in your office space be natural wood grains, leather, stone, fossil textures, bamboo, rattan, is that how it's pronounced, and dried grasses. So I don't have a wood desk, but I actually have a wood kind of laminate paste on top to make my desk look like it's wood. And it's really nice to look at the patterns of the fake wood. But any way that you can ever bring in natural looking aspects to your office, whether or not they're plant, is super helpful. And having a natural color palette, particularly greens and browns, the colors that are going to occur outdoor in nature, try and have them replicated in your space. We are supported by MakeSpace. Plant friends, MakeSpace literally saved our move this past July in 2020 when Billy and I made a last minute decision to give up our apartment. Because of logistics, we had to put our apartment in storage while we moved to temporary housing, and MakeSpace made our lives so easy in the midst of a very stressful move. So here's how the MakeSpace service works. They ship you reusable bags that fit their boxes ahead of time. You pack up the bags at your leisure, and then they come and pick the bags up, haul the bags, and store your stuff off in their secure storage facilities, and then they deliver it back to you whenever you need it. So you literally never leave your apartment, and they store it all for you. And you can schedule the pickups and deliveries with their easy to use app, and you get a complete digital photo inventory of your stored items. It is seriously crazy how easy and seamless this process was. I've used MakeSpace twice now, and I truly adore them. We've never spent more time indoors these days, and whether you need to make space for your new home office, like we talked about today, maybe you need to store your holiday decorations or seasonal clothing, or move, or maybe you just need to make space for more plants in your life, MakeSpace has customizable fixed monthly rates for you, because with MakeSpace, you only pay for the space you need. So MakeSpace is offering Bloom & Grow listeners $100 off, what a deal, with the code SPACE, P-L-Z, at checkout. So if you want to make space in your home, visit makespace.com to see their different sizing options and use code SPACE, P-L-Z, for $100 off. Plant friend, have you taken the Bloom and Grow Radio Plant Parent Personality Test yet? Well, what the heck are you waiting for? It is so fun, and my gift to this community, it's super short, super free, and it's a test that you take and you get your plant parent personality, a little profile of the pros and cons of your personality, and a list of recommended plants, DIY projects, and Bloom and Grow Radio podcasts that are specifically curated for you and your personality by me. So here's the deal. One of the biggest questions I always get is, what is the perfect starter plant? And I have to be honest with you, I don't think there is a perfect starter plant for everyone. I think there are perfect starter plants for different types of personalities. So someone who wants to grow their own food is going to love growing an herb, but someone who travels a lot and has no interest in really like caring for and maintaining houseplants on a super regular basis will likely kill an herb real quick, and they probably are going to do better with a Sansevieria or a ZZ plant. So I took the guesswork out of this whole process for you by making this quiz. It's so cute. I'm real proud of it. I call it my quarantine baby. And I hope you learn something new about yourself after you take it. So go ahead and take it at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and let me know what your results are on Instagram. I cannot wait to see. The last few I feel like aren't exactly applicable to office spaces, but I'll run through them quickly in case you're curious. Prospect is to have an unimpeded view over a distance for surveilling and planning. So if you can be near a window where you can kind of see your space, but then also be able to look far away, that apparently feels good. And also it's really good for your eyes to be able to change your focus to see things up close and things far away. Because the more we look in front of screens, we're only using that aspect of our eye strength and losing strength when it comes to like seeing far distances. Refuge, I actually think, is a really interesting one. It's defined as a place for withdrawal from environmental conditions or the main flow of activity in which the individual is protected from behind or overhead. So I interpret this in two different ways. Number one, I think that we all need a planty space away from our office that we can go take refuge in. Ideally, we're surrounded by plants. I have a tour on my YouTube channel of my planty nook that I try and stay screen-free in. But another thought is, within our office space, how can we make it feel like a place for withdrawal? How can we make it feel like we're surrounded by plants? To me, that's trying to have more than one wall covered in plants. So right now I have the wall in front of me that my office desk is set up, and then I have a wall to the left of me, which has a green wall. So I feel kind of enveloped in plants, but it's just interesting food for thought. The other two are mystery and risk peril. And frankly, I think we have enough mystery and risk and peril within our work days, so we can skip over those and get to the good stuff. Okay, so here are my tips and thoughts after kind of diving through all of those. When you're approaching your office, your work from home office, I think the biggest rule of thumb to take from all of those different design patterns is to have a plant in your eyesight at all times, no matter what that means for you. So I think always the general rule of thumb is, if you can have the real thing, have the real thing, and if not, have the simulated thing. But having a simulated thing is always better than having no thing. So if you can have plants at your desk, I would say definitely have plants at your desk and have them in as many aspects of your eye line as possible. So for me, anywhere I look on my desk, there is something green. So I have this experience of green life in my view at all times. If you can't do actual plants, photos of plants also work. I have a free downloadable PDF of a gorgeous watercolor of prickly pear cactus in various states of bloom with our catchphrase, keep blooming, on top of it. It's the exclusive keep blooming print that Molly Mansfield made for our community. You can download it, but through the link in the show notes. But any type of beautiful photos of plants, whether it's actual photos, watercolors, paintings, just invoke that feeling of plants and life in your space, however you know how. That could also be wallpaper. I think it would be really funky to like wallpaper your office space with some sort of like jungle vibe wallpaper. Obviously, set up your desk near a window if you can, so you can really have a view of the real thing. And also try a green wall if you can. I've really enjoyed my green wall in my office space. It's made me feel so cozy because it's right up next to me. And it's also been a great excuse for me to rest my eyes throughout my workday. And once again, that goes along the lines of, if you can have plants on more than one plane or more than one wall, I feel like it feels amazing to kind of be wrapped with plants around you. A lot of the pictures that our listeners sent with the hashtag PlantyWFH Hashtag, I mean, people have a 365 degree view of plants. You've got plants in front of you, behind you, to the left, to the right. And I love too that in some of these pictures that you can see in the blog for the show notes, it's linked in the show notes of this podcast. Some of them, I mean, the Zoom setups that some of these people must have because of the way that they've organized their bookshelves and their offices are amazing. A few other ideas to incorporate these principles is have a wooden desk. Try and incorporate aspects of wood so you can experience that beautiful grain structure within your workday. And an oil diffuser. So there are a lot of studies about the scent, like smelling plant oils and how they can help. So I kind of got into this after I read more about it in a book called Forest Bathing. And so I have a diffuser at my desk. In addition to candles, I have candles at my desk and then I have a diffuser. And I've been playing around with diffusing different types of tree oils. So I love the Japanese hinoki tree oil. That's super relaxing. I love eucalyptus. We've got cypress, lavender, lemon. It's so fun every day to kind of mix and match whatever scents I'm feeling. It's like actually a nice practice to start the workday as well. Or if I need a pick-me-up in the middle of the day, it's been really nice. And it's a great way to replicate being outdoors, smelling plant smells. A couple of plant ideas. So picking plants for your office space is all about understanding your light setup. So you've got to understand, is your desk right in front of a window? Because then, depending on that window, you're probably going to have more selection of what's available to thrive than if your desk is like mine. My desk is far from the window. It's basically in the darkest corner of my room. I've had to manipulate that with grow lights. But if you have a low light office setup, some suggestions I would have for you are to try snake plants, to try philodendron, maybe some pothos or some air plants. My air plants are doing really well in this like diffused grow light situation that I have at my desk, and they're super fun to look at throughout the day. If you're looking for low light tolerant, higher maintenance plants, because maybe you want to be engaging with them more frequently, misting them, watering them, you could definitely try ferns. You could once again try those air plants or have plants that have aerial roots, because then you can mist them throughout the day because aerial roots love a little mist moment. Another suggestion I would have is try something that blooms at your desk. I recently got a $3.99 deal of a Christmas cactus that I brought home. It had buds that hadn't opened. And for the rest of December, I was able to just have the plant on my desk and see the buds open over the course of 2 weeks. It was so nice to just check in with the blooms and the buds throughout the day, document their blooms on my phone, but also just have this beautiful, bright, inviting blossom next to me when I'm in New York under 10 inches of snow. And man, if you have a highlight office situation, the world is your oyster. You could go fiddly fig. You could have a succulent collection. Some of our listeners have cacti at their desk, maybe some peperomia, but also maybe take the plant parent personality test and get recommended plants for your lifestyle. That might be a little bit easier. A little bit of troubleshooting for if you have the following issues. Here are some suggestions. So if you don't have light at your desk setup, holy moly, there is a grow light for everyone now. There are grow lights at every affordable price point, from super, super affordable to super luxury, every shape and size, whether it's just a grow bulb that you literally are just going to screw into whatever existing lamp, desk lamp or floor lamp that you have, or something like the Soltec Solution Aspect Light, which is a pendant style hanging light that I have at my desk. You install it with just a little hook in your ceiling and it hangs and looks so chic. And also, one of our sponsors, Modern Sprout, makes this amazing grow frame that actually gets mounted on the wall. So if you need to go vertical with your plants, mounting the grow frame or maybe putting their grow bar in one of your bookshelves. I've done this. I'll link to my YouTube video that shows you how I turned a whole bookshelf into a grow shelf with these grow lights. But there really is a grow light solution for like every single space at every single price point. So I will link to the grow lights that I use and also my Amazon storefront with all the grow lights you could ever imagine that you can check out if you're interested in illuminating your office. If you have a really tiny office, definitely go vertical. So install that green wall, use hanging planters, use shelves. I mean, make the ultimate shelfie, but there are some amazing photos from listeners that got sent in. They have tiny office spaces, but man, they have the most urban jungle vibes in their office because they've really utilized their wall space. And if you don't want soil on your desk, which I totally get, I would suggest going with air plants because they're totally soil-free and you could put them in anything. I have mine in votive candle holders right now. Or you could try going the semi-hydro route. Semi-hydro, the maintenance is a lot lower, so you could kind of just do one monthly fill. But the semi-hydro plant care practice is soil-free, and I've got two episodes on it. If you're interested in learning more, you can click the link in the show notes. Okay, so I've been talking your ears off about these 14 biophilic design principles and my stuff, but this is about our community. Our community used the hashtag PlantyWFH, Planty Work From Home, and shared some amazing setups of their setups across the world. So if you're curious, you can click the link to the blog for this episode, and I've compiled all the photos that you can click through. But also, I did a YouTube video this week where I give you a tour of my Planty Work From Home space and give you some tips and kind of behind the scenes thoughts of how I constructed my space. But also, I actually do a review of the top 5 photos that were submitted. So if you're curious, go check that YouTube video out or check the blog to see all of these photos. But as a closing, I wanted to share some general takeaways that I took after seeing all of these photos. There were definitely some common themes. So, number one, vertical space is your friend here. Almost every single photo that got submitted had intense vertical space plant moments, whether they were hanging planters from their curtain rods, whether they were green walls like mine that I use the Wally Grow planters, whether it was shelves that had trailing vines that looked so beautiful, or incorporating pots into your shelving with all of your books. I get that you can't really crowd your desk space with plants a lot of the time, so going vertical is really important. Shelving is going to be your friends. Mix your books, your files, and your plants together. Don't just let your bookshelf be all business. Let it be a little planty as well. So many of these beautiful pictures had photos of their desk being right up against a window, so they can actually look right out a window in addition to looking at their computer monitors. Those looked so beautiful and very inviting. Also, many people had plants right next to their screens, which I definitely like and encourage as well. So you can kind of get that quick hit of looking at a plant. I mean, one of my favorite things to do when my eyes need a rest, when I'm starting to get a little fatigued, is I look at the Philodendron Brazil leaf patterns in my green wall, or I also have a small Sansevieria Zeylanica next to me on my desk, which has a mesmerizing pattern on its leaves. So I try and put plants with really beautiful visual aspects to them so I can just kind of let my eyes drift literally right next to the screen onto the plant leaf, have a break, and go back. And one of our listeners, her Instagram handle is Armory, actually set up her home office outside on her balcony. It was so adorable. She's surrounded by all of her balcony plants. She's got this tiny little desk with her computer, but man, it looked so inviting. So definitely check the link to that blog out so you can see all of the different photos of all of the different planty setups, and I hope they inspire you. One last thing I want to leave you with is use your plants to take breaks throughout your workday. Find these little moments of joy and awe within your plants. Plant friends, we have never been more screen addicted and reliant on screens before in our lives. And I think now so many people working from home are starting to feel those mental fatigue effects, starting to feel the effects of constantly being on our screens. And it is so freaking easy to just get up and go right to the computer. I have been trying to like set an alarm on my phone for like every 3 hours. And I take a 5-minute break where I just like walk over to a plant, look at the plant, zone out with the plant and go back, or look at whatever bloom I've got going on, or propagate something really quickly, or just do something to engage with the plant, smell an herb, smell a Hoya bloom. Try and find these little breaks with your plants and use your plants as an excuse, because gosh, it's just so easy to just plow through a work day and then be finished with a headache or with really tired eyes. And for me, a commitment in 2021 is finding some more joy throughout my work day and just my life in general. But that has been a really successful practice for me, and I hope that you can take it too, even if you feel silly sometimes, because feeling silly is good. I'd love to hear which one of these tips resonated with you the most on Instagram, and I would love to see your planty work from home setups. So consider using that hashtag, #PlantyWFH, and sharing your work from home setups on Instagram as well, because then as a community, we can search that hashtag and have a whole list of inspiration for us to try and apply it into our spaces as well. And like I mentioned in the intro, we have compiled the top 9 tips and suggestions from this episode into a really cute, super helpful free download that's available to you and is linked in the show notes. So fancy. Plan friends, I freaking adore this community. I adore you guys. I wish you the best. I hope that we all have super successful 2021 work from home situations. And even if they were a little stressful to put together, I'm hoping now we can settle in and actually turn them into little oases that we've always wanted and actually look forward to sitting down at our desk because of the little jungle we've created around them. I'm going to continue my series where I introduce you to different other podcasters that I listen to and adore. So today is a true crime podcast. I recently polled you guys on Instagram about what other podcasts you guys listen to, and I was shocked at how many people were recommending true crime podcasts. I didn't realize that there would be so much crossover between plants and true crime, but there totally is. So I wanted to let you know about my friend Scott's podcast, What Was That Like? Oh my God, Scott, number one, he's an awesome guy. The sound quality of his podcast is amazing, and he finds people with the most unbelievable stories and interviews them about their experience on what that was like. And the show is produced in such a beautiful way. Scott does such a great job with it, and the stories are exhilarating. So I'm going to leave you with his trailer. And until next time, plant friends, keep blooming and keep growing.
What Was That Like? Is a true story podcast like you've never heard before. These are clips from a few past episodes.
There is a man standing in front of me in my bedroom.
My friend has been shot.
I'm literally inside the river, and I'm inside my car.
He had told me multiple times that he's going to set himself on fire.
If you say my name or try to look at me, I'm going to kill you.
And he was just sobbing. He said, Mom, tell me you're going to be okay.
And I jumped on the hood of the car, and I held on.
And I looked into the garage, and he was hanging from the rafters.
I had somebody standing on my neck.
He's better to me dead. I want him dead.
Real people in unreal situations. Find it on your favorite podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more planty content or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.